Thank you, Marjorie. I know where those lost Estevan pines are. I think I've been on some of the same highways. It's Copper Harbor, Michigan. It's there this summer. Where the night's dragging on, I've got a couple more people I'd like to introduce before we get to the final introducer. In our audience tonight, by sheer coincidence, in town from New York, is our senior editor, Quincy Troop, who I'd like to stand up and come forward. Quincy's been with the magazine a long time, and he manages to convince people to submit the finest manuscripts to River Styx magazine from New York. He's somebody that we could not live without, and I'm really glad he could be here tonight. Of course, we're going to be dragging him back in town in a couple months anyway. The other person is another worker on the magazine. Then you'll know all of our staff, very, very small. That's Catherine Conrad, who's at the bar right now. Could you step out here for a round of applause? She's doing wonders right now with marketing our magazine. But to the final introducer, this man is somebody that tolerates me and I tolerate him. We get along very well together. He's the new president of the board of the Big River Association. He teaches music at Washington University. He's an accomplished composer, an accomplished teller of jokes in two languages, puns in both German and English. Very, very hard to put up with a lot of the time. But we do it anyway. And he's also a wonderful anecdotist. I'm sure he'll tell a few in this next introduction. Harold Blumenfeld.
Thank you. I wonder what kind of antidote you need, John. I want to announce that the shortest board meeting in the history of the River Styx will be held in the back room for 4.5 minutes after our final reader, mainly to set the time of the meeting of our opening session for the year. It's fallen on me to introduce the greatest introducer of the Western world. Fortunately, he doesn't need introduction. But this is a man whose introductions almost always exceed what is introduced. So I have learned my lesson, and I'm going to be brief, hoping that he'll be as long as possible. Bill Gass is the gas which has fueled this organization almost from its inception, and he's been the leading spirit behind our literary efforts. He's been the chairman of the literary committee. And somehow between Washington University and Shanghai and Lithuania over the past 3 years, he has been our president. And he's guided us through some mighty rough times, and we feel that we have arrived at the shore of tranquility, you know, on this barge of ours. And I do feel some trepidation when he passes on this paddle to me. I don't know exactly what he would do with it, but I want to give you Bill Gass, and I want us all to pay homage to this man who's guided the destinies and densities of this organization over the past years. Bill.
Thank you very much. Well, it's been a long evening, a wonderful evening. And here comes prose. I want to read two short pieces from a novel that I've been working on. The first is, for those of you who are familiar with the work of Donald Barthelme, written as a homage to that writer, and you may detect the atmosphere of the piece if you know his work. I built a barricade. My kids tried to dissuade me with lemonade and language, but I built it nonetheless. I have decided to depict life. There will be a whole row of representations. My wife resents it, but the barricade is built anyway. Boxes of sworn affidavits, cartons of cottage cheese, oysters hung from little wires. You wouldn't believe the strength of it. Truly daunting, formidable appearance, the visage of a Viking movie. I tell my students to do something with their lives. Build a barricade. They expect mine to be built of twine and bird lime, sputum, cleverness, the usual. Official optimism, old affections, parental disinclination, warped planks, pride from former conversations. Ah, the nunkheads. Soft cheese will withstand almost anything, but first it must be melted and its pus yellow run thatched with grass. Sickening effect. I remember when a brie-smeared roll in my mouth made you bawl like a baby. How can you eat at a time like this, you said, a query useless in a barricade. My students expected mine to be surreal, heartbeats hunting for their hearts as if they were jingles from lost keys, that sort of soft brim old hat hat. It's what they've heard goes into barricades. They pick their information up like the pin that's dropped during pauses in historical conversations. Well, such stuff wouldn't stop a rolled-up look of scorn. The wheels have come off all the old barricades. You've done enough, my son said, barricade-wise. For one, you haven't written poetry. Be proud. Rest on that laurel. Enough honor for one life. You can't build a barricade with retrograde presorts, my son, I said, reclining on leaves and the like. Images scare back the blind with their...